I want to share with you today that I sense the Lord has sort of recently been addressing in my life. Really, better to say it more like this, one of the things that God has been confronting in me. Let's work on this. Let's do better in this. Let's change this. It's my thinking. It's how I think. It's what I think about. All of us would likely understand how important our thinking, how important our mind would be. In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the King James says it this way, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." The Good News translation says it like this, "What a man thinks is what he really is." Track with me just for a moment on this. We are made up of a body, and we are made up of a soul, and then, of course, a spirit as well. The body we would maybe think of as everything on the outside, everything that we would associate, if you will, with our physical being. And your soul, then, in contrast to that, would be all the inside stuff. It's all that makes you to be you. It's your personality. It's your will, it's your emotions, your conscience, your demeanor. We could think of it related to your character. We could think of it this way, apart from the physical, how people describe you. Not tall, short, dark hair, light hair, brown eyes, blue eyes, young, old, rather how people describe you, how you are, who you really are. What we ultimately discover in that, the connection between the body and soul, it's your soul that controls your body. Your mouth is part of your body. It's one element of your physical being with a specified purpose and function, obviously. Consider this, though. What comes out of your mouth, that's not the body. That's the soul. That's determined by your soul. That's your personality. That's your will. That's your emotions. That's your character. How you talk. That's how people describe you. That's part of what makes you to be you. The soul controls that. The soul controls the body. The soul controls what comes out of your mouth. So therein, immediately, we would recognize the importance of the soul. If uncontrolled anger comes out, if gossip comes out, if bad talk comes out, I guess, yes, you sort of still have a body problem, you have a mouth problem, but really, what do you have? You have a soul problem. That only came out because your soul told it to, or at the very least, allowed it to. And it only came out of your soul because it was in your soul. Consider this, the importance of your mind and your thinking. One says it this way, the mind is the control center for the functioning of the soul. So really, we could think of it this way. The soul controls the body. To our illustration, the soul tells the mouth what to say. And the mind, your thinking, controls the soul. The mind tells the soul what to tell the mouth to say. No wonder the words then of Scripture. What a man thinks is what he really is. Related to our physical beings, related to our bodies, all of us would understand the brain is vitally important. If one suffers brain damage, bodily function is compromised at best, completely and permanently messed up at worst. And really, therein the importance of the mind and our thinking. What the brain is to the body, the mind is to the soul. The mind, your thinking, how you think, what you think about, that's the control center for the functioning of the soul. If I want my body to go right and to do right, my brain must be functioning right. And if I want my soul to go right so it can tell my body, do right, talk right, listen right, act right, respond right, then my mind must be functioning properly. All that you would identify as you being not all that you want to be. All that you would recognize in your life. I don't know why I'm like that, because I don't really want to be like that. All that you would recognize as sort of a flaw, keeping you from being the ideal you, as you would consider, this is who I would like to be, this is who I want to be, and all that here and now keeps you from becoming like that. All that you would identify as indicators of you falling short of all that God wants you to be. Again, imagine that picture. You see it in your mind's eye. That's who God wants me to be. That's how God wants me to talk. That's how God wants me to treat people. That's how God wants me to respond in difficult situations. And you see that person, and you see who you are, and you see the discrepancy, all of those things, all that you would see of your personality and will and emotions and conscience, all that you would see of your character, all that you would recognize as people's description of you, all that you would identify of your soul's control of you, making all the outside stuff to look way too much like you and not nearly enough like Jesus. Listen, as a man thinketh, so he is. All that then is influence, it's directed, it's controlled, all that. We're not who we want to be. We're not who God wants us to be. We're not looking like Jesus, like we should be. All that is changed by changing our thinking. That's the importance of the mind. That's the importance of our thinking. No wonder then today, for me, for us, the work of God's Spirit. Let's work on your way of thinking. Let's do better in how you think and what you think about. Let's change your thinking so your soul can function properly and in turn make all the outside stuff to be more what God wants and more what looks more and more like Jesus. Let me share with you this as well, the importance of our mind and our thinking. I believe this is true. The war that the devil wages against us, it's a battle that takes place in our mind. He works to deceive us. He works to make us to doubt our salvation and our standing with God. He makes us to question the goodness of God. In the midst of your trouble, yes, you have trouble. There's a health problem. There's a financial difficulty, but you know it. Where's the devil waging a war against you in your mind and the thoughts as you're trying to process? How is it that God can love me and still let this remain? All the questions that you'd ask, why hasn't God done anything? Doesn't God care about me? Can't God do something to fix this? If he can, why hasn't he? You know what it is, the internal struggle. You know the discouragement that you have to deal with. You know the doubt that you have to deal with. That's the work of the devil. That's the devil through your circumstances waging a war against you. He wants us to question the goodness of God and our place in relationship with God, even our place in the work of God. Presented with an opportunity, you know the warfare of the enemy. You can't do that. You've never done that before. That's the fear that you feel. That's the worry. That's the anxiousness. Oh no, I don't know if I can help out with that. All of a sudden, there's an open door that God presents. And what does the devil do? He begins a war with you. And where does it happen? In your mind. And sure, there might be outside circumstances. The doors seem to close and it's difficult and the calendar gets filled and all of these things that are going on. But in the process of it all, what's happening on the inside? The devil is battling you, making you to be deceived into thinking there's no way you could do that. There's no way that God would call you to do that. There's no way that you could walk through that door of opportunity and accomplish anything for the kingdom. Last week we considered the good gift, the very good gift, the good gift that we want, the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes from God, our good Father. Through the Spirit, we can believe and live in this reality that we've been made right with God. Not because of any good in us, but because of Jesus and what he's done for us at Calvary. Better than just being made right with God through the Spirit, we've received a spirit of adoption. By way of the Spirit, we're reminded that we're God's children. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And we can call God our Father, our good, good Father. And he calls us his children. And that brings us intimacy with God. Listen, there's an intimacy you can have with the Father, a confidence in entering his throne, a confidence in entering his presence, knowing that Jesus has cleansed you, Jesus has forgiven you, you're a child of God, you're not a stranger, you're not someone who doesn't belong, you do belong. Jesus has made a way for you to belong. Listen, everything that the Spirit would do, the devil works against that. The devil works so that you would doubt your relationship with God, that you would question your right standing with him. The devil wants you thinking all about you and nothing about Jesus. He wants you evaluating your standing with God, not on what Jesus has done for you, but what you've done this past week, or what you've not done, what you've said or not said. The devil wants you wondering whether or not you actually belong or are even welcome in God's presence. What you said, how you treated that person, the opportunity you squandered, the many opportunities you squandered, you shouldn't be here. God doesn't want you here in his presence. You know what? God needs some time. You take a week. Get it all together. Don't mess anything up this week. Come back next Sunday. Everything will be fine then. God will let you in then. You can't pray. You can't ask God for anything after how you've been living. God's not going to listen to you if you do. God doesn't want to hear from you. Not after all you've done wrong. You can't worship. God doesn't want... How hypocritical of you to think you can come into God's presence and worship God. You, someone who messes so much up so often. And why that? Why that work of the devil that sounds like that? So that intimacy with the Father would be compromised. All that the Spirit does, it's so that you would come closer and closer and relationship would grow deeper and deeper. All that the devil does, it's to fight that. It's not the message this morning, but can I encourage you today? Be careful who you're listening to. What you hear, is that the voice of the Spirit or is that the voice of your enemy? Follow-up question, why would you ever listen to your enemy instead of God's good gift to you? Beyond what you're hearing, be careful what you're saying. What are you saying to yourself? What are you speaking over you? Even to you and to others. Are you saying what you've heard the Spirit say about you? Who you are? Or are you repeating what you've heard from your enemy? Follow-up question again, why would you ever repeat what your enemy has said? He's a liar. There's no truth found in him or in anything that he says. Why would you ever speak what you've heard from him? Why would you ever repeat that instead of declaring over you and for you what you've heard from God's good gift to you? Whose voice are you hearing? Which one are you repeating and rehearsing in your mind and in your heart? Listen, I ask you that question because it will answer ultimately this question: how's your intimacy with the Father? I can answer that for you. Pastor, I've been listening to the voice of the enemy. Intimacy with the Father has been compromised. Oh, Pastor, I listen to the voice of the Spirit. God's good. I know my sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God. Join heirs with Jesus. I'll know then you know what it is to walk in a closeness with God. Listen, the devil wants us deceived, discouraged, and doubting so that we would drift, so that we would not know the intimacy that God longs for us to have, the Spirit works for us to have, and Jesus died for us to have. And the devil works to do all of that where? In our minds. Listen, this is how we call him. This is who he is. The devil, he's the enemy of our souls. Why wouldn't the battle with him then? Why wouldn't the battle with the enemy of our soul? Why wouldn't it happen in the control center of our soul? The devil messes that up. He messes up your mind. He messes up your thinking. And he's won the battle for your soul. The devil knows, even as the word declares it, as a man thinketh, so he is. The devil knows if he can mess up your mind, he can mess up all God's destined you to be and all that Jesus died for you to be. How important our mind and our thinking. No wonder, again, for me, for us, the work of the Spirit, let's work on our thinking. Let's do better. Let's improve. Let's be more careful how we think, what we think about. Let's change our thinking. Let's win the battle in our mind so that our thinking is right, our soul can function right, and we can be all God wants us to be and all that Jesus died for us to be. The real message this morning, I know it's true for me. I believe it would be true even for many of us, if not all of us today. In so many things, in so many areas, we need to change our thinking. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The New Living Translation says it this way. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. When the mind is renewed, when the thinking is changed, there's a transformation in our soul that translates into a brand new person. Today, let's experience that. Today, let's change how we think. A few thoughts on that, but first, a neuroscience lesson. One author writes the following. Wilder Penfield studied neuropathology at Oxford University before setting up the Montreal Neurological Institute Hospital. By the end of his illustrious career as a neurosurgeon, Dr. Penfield had explored the brain of 1,132 patients suffering from epileptic seizures. Using an instrument known as the Penfield dissector, he meticulously mapped the human brain. By stimulating different parts of the brain with a mild electrical current, Dr. Penfield found that his patients experienced vivid flashbacks of their past. One patient recalled every note from a symphony she had heard at a concert many years before. The same spot was stimulated 30 times, and each time she remembered every note. Another patient recalled sitting at a train stop as a child, and she could describe each train car as it went by in her mind's eye. Not only were the flashbacks extremely detailed, some of them predated the patient's first conscious memories. Dr. Penfield concluded that every sound, every sight, every smell, every experience that has ever captured one's attention is somehow recorded on that person's internal hard drive, the cerebral cortex. Here's how it works. When you hear a song or you see a picture, a line is traced on the surface of your brain. If you hear the same song or see the same picture again, the same line is retraced. Do you understand? With each repetition, the memory is more deeply ingrained until that song or picture is literally engraved on the surface of your brain. Maybe it's a conversation that was had, something that was said, it offended you. Something was said that hurt you. Something was said that shouldn't have been said. Watch this. The memory was made, but more importantly to our mind, the line was drawn. The trail was made, if you will, our thinking on that conversation. But then this is what we do. Isn't this what we do? We begin to replay that offense over and over and over again. We begin to rehearse in our mind what was said, how deeply it hurt us. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they responded like that. I can't believe they could be and would be so insensitive as to how I felt, as what I needed to hear from them, but what they instead said. They were supposed to be my friend. They were supposed to be my brother, my sister. We go to church together. And yet that's what they said to me. We begin to imagine what we should have said, what we wish we would have said. If we could only have that conversation again, we would put them in their place. We would hurt and offend them before they could us. We constantly think on it. The conversation, what was said, how it made us feel. Just like the picture, just like the song in our memory, the line is drawn, a trail is made. And now it's deepened as we go over it again and again and again. As we retrace the line and walk again the trail of anger that we felt in that moment. Bitterness and betrayal that we experience, hurt. Every time we think of them, every time we think of that conversation with them, we retrace the line. All of us have deeply ingrained and engraved on the surface of our mind, not just our memories, but our ways of thinking, how we think, what we think about, what comes easily to us, what comes naturally to us. In the downtime, alone with our thoughts, where our mind takes us, what we rehearse there, what we think about when we think about God, what we think about when we think about church, what we think about when we think about the word and worship and the prayer, what we think about when we think about people, what we think about when we think about that person, what we think about when we think about authority, what we think about when we think about anything. The trail has been made, and we travel that same trail again and again and again. And remember, as a man thinketh, so he is. Those trails that we travel make us to be who we are. That becomes the reason we respond the way that we do, the way we treat people the way that we do. I've met people, I've talked to people, you have no doubt as well. They are always and only negative. The glass is always and only half empty. It's never half full. Even if doing better from whatever the last problem or the last complaint, there's no celebration. It's just on to the next problem. It's just on to the next complaint. It's so frustrating, even discouraging to sometimes even just talk to them. The struggle that they were in, it's finished, it's over, and that's great news. And you tell them that, you say something like that, you want to celebrate that. That's awesome. That's all done. You're good now. It's great. But their response, yeah, that's finished, but you won't believe what I'm going through now. It's draining. The constant problem and complaint, never the celebration of victory. You want to say to them, can't we just pause for a moment? I know you had trouble, I know you're in trouble, but can't we pause? Because the trouble you were in is gone. Before we jump to the new trouble and the new problem, can't we pause for a moment and just celebrate? Even if it was for a moment, even if just part of a day, you were better than you were yesterday. Can't we celebrate and rejoice in that? No, they can't. They can't do it. Even their negativity spills over into their conversation with you. Unless I miss my guess, these are the people we've learned not to share good news with. Because we know their expressed negativity all too often will compromise the moment of joy for us. You let them know how good you're doing. You're not going to believe. Work is great. I got a promotion. I got a raise. The job's easier and the pay is better. And their response, well, we'll see how long that lasts. And all of a sudden, it ruins the moment. It ruins everything. This is what it is. It's a trail that they've made in their mind. And they travel it over and over and over. They don't know any other trail to travel. It both consumes and defines their thinking. Always the negativity. And because, as a man thinketh, so he is. Their constant negative thinking becomes displayed in their personality, their demeanor, even in fact, everything about them. I've met people, I've talked to people, you have no doubt as well, always worried, always anxious, always afraid. It's the line they've drawn. It's the trail they travel over and over. It's ingrained and engraved, deepened more and more and more as they retrace it again and again and again. Worry about this. Worry about that. Worry about yesterday. Worry about today. Worry about tomorrow. It's worry, 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 worry. The lines deepen. It's retraced over and over and over and over until it's the only trail they know how to travel. The worry, the anxiousness, the fear. And because as a man thinketh, so he is, it becomes who they are. I've met people, talked to people, you have as well, bound by anger, bound by bitterness, bound by resentment. Even on a good day, they're grouchy. Even as they would tell you, oh, it's a great day, there's just something about them. Are you sure? Because nothing about you is saying to me, it's a good day and you're in a good mood. There's an anger and a bitterness and resentment, a hurt they can't get past. It's the trail that's been made. It's the trail they travel. Their mind filled with that. Their very personality defined by the same. Listen this morning, the message, Romans 12, we can be transformed. We can be a brand new person. Listen to me. No longer the negativity. No longer the worry. No longer the fear. No longer the anxiousness, not anymore. No longer the anger and bitterness. No longer the thing that keeps us from being who we want to be. No longer the thing that keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. We can be transformed. Romans 12, how so? By changing the way we think. How do we do that? Let me just share with you a couple of thoughts this morning. First is this, get off the old trail. Part of changing how you think is stopping how you've always thought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we read that this way. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. The unhealthy thinking that's made you to be less than you want to be, less than God wants to be. You have to take those thoughts captive. You take them captive or they will take you captive. You have to stop them as soon as you recognize them. It's Martin Luther who's attributed with the quote, "You can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair." The thoughts that come in when you think about that person, the problem with them, the conversation you had with them, what they did to offend you, what they always seem to do to irritate you, the source of conflict and contention, they always and only seem to be. The thoughts that come in when you think about the troublesome situation you're having to deal with, the thoughts that come in related to just in general your experiences in life and your outlook on life. You can't necessarily help what comes flying into your head, but you can determine what stays there. You have to take those thoughts that don't belong. You have to take them captive related to my thinking, your thinking, any thoughts that we're trying to change, we're trying to stop. I have to stop being so negative about that person. I have to stop being so negative about this situation. I've got to stop worrying so much about this. I've got to stop being so afraid of that. All of those thoughts related to our thinking, we're trying to change that. We're wanting to stop that. You have to stop that thought then. You have to stop thinking that thought. I once read the same sort of thought this way. It's the stray cat that you feed that will stay. Listen, the thought might show up on your doorstep, but you don't have to feed it. You stop it and starve it so that it goes away. Jesus says this specifically related to worry in Luke 21. Make up your mind not to worry. I think all of us would be able to easily identify the thoughts we don't want, the thoughts we ought not to have. As a man thinketh, so he is. These are the thoughts we don't want because they make us to be who we don't want to be. And there's no other way to say it. There's no easier way to consider it than simply this. When those thoughts come in, you have to take them captive. You identify them and you stop them. I'm becoming a brand new person. I'm being changed by changing my thinking. I'm not going to think that thought in this moment. And really, that's what it is. It's a moment-by-moment decision. It's great for you and me to decide and determine today to do that now. But really, when it matters most, when that thought comes in, you're going to have to decide it then, in that moment. And you're going to have to do it again and again and again. You're going to have to keep doing it. That experience that you had makes you angry, bitter towards them. Infuriated with them, irritated by them. Every thought you have about them, it's not good. It's filled with anger. It's filled with bitterness. It's filled with all that you'd like to say, all that you hope they have to go through for all they put you through. Every time you see them, you might have to take captive some thoughts again. Every time, you're going to have to take those thoughts captive. You're going to have to make up your mind. I'm not letting the bird nest here. I'm not feeding that cat. I'm not following. I'm not traveling that old trail. I'm not going to think about that. And I don't mean to discourage you. It's just the way it is. This is easy to consider, altogether different to do. Remember, this is the well-worn path. This is the path that you've always taken and always traveled. It comes naturally to you by default. Some of you, if I knew the name, I could say the name. And naturally, by default, the negative feelings, the anger, the bitterness, the resentment would come to the surface of your mind. Just their name initiates, brings, is the catalyst for all of those feelings. It's difficult to not do what comes naturally, to not give in to the default, to get off the old trail. But listen to me this morning. Difficult though it may be, it's what we must do. The old, the well-worn path, that's not the way that leads to transformation and change. That won't get you to the destination you desire. Travel that trail, you'll think how you've always thought. You'll be who you've always been. You have to get off the old trail and you have to blaze a new trail. Jesus in Luke 11 talks about an evil spirit that leaves a man goes to find another place, but in fact finds nothing. So then decides to return. He finds the place has been cleaned, swept and put in order, but empty. And so he, this evil spirit, fills it again, worse than before, even really seven times worse. Do you understand this morning in the context of our message? You have to stop the old. I know it sounds simple, but in the end, it really is true. When the thought comes, you're going to have to decide to take it captive and to cast it out. No, I'm not going to think that way, but that won't be enough. You have to fill your house. You have to fill your mind with the thoughts that do belong, the thoughts that are obedient to Christ and need then to stay. Can I say it this way? If you imagine yourself in the middle of the woods or a jungle, and you see before you the well-worn, the old path, and you decide, I'm not traveling that, not this time, not anymore, that's good. But do you understand? If there's no other trail to travel, you're stuck. And the question then becomes, how long are you staying stuck before you decide, well, there's no other way to go. Well, there's no other way to think. Well, this is the way I've always thought after all. How long before you decide to get right back on that old trail? You have to stop the old, but as well, you have to create the new. You have to blaze for yourself a new trail. I think this is so important. We've used it already this morning. Maybe there's a relational problem with someone, the thinking towards them, it's not good. It needs to change so you can be changed. And there's a Sunday message like this one, and the Spirit prompts you, you need to forgive them. You need to change your thinking about them, and you do everything right. You respond perfectly. Maybe even you come to the altar, yes, Lord, I need help with this. I want to be changed today. But then the problem, the reason so many of us, albeit even with the best of responses and the best of intentions, struggle to experience real change and real transformation. We leave a Sunday message like this one and end up traveling the same old trail again and again because we fail to create new ones. And then because as a man thinketh, so he is, we end up being who we've always been. We don't blaze the new trail so that we can be the brand new person. We leave the message this morning thinking it was enough. They hurt me, but I'm not going to think about that anymore. When I see them, I'm not going to think about how they hurt. I'm not going to think about what they said. I'm not going to think about how upset I was. And we leave with just that. End up on the same old, old trails. Instead of stopping those and as well creating new ones, I forgive them. I'm not just going to not think, oh, they hurt me when I see them. I'm going to think, I forgive them. I bless them. I pray for them. I love them. I'm going to be kind to them. I'm going to find ways to serve them. In Ephesians 4, you were taught with your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self. You can't just take off the old. You have to put on the new. You can't just clean the house and leave it empty. You'll end up worse off than before. You can't just get off the old trail. You have to blaze a new one. So instead of the old, how about this for the new? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right and pure, lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We blaze a new trail. We set our minds on the truth. We set our minds on Scripture. Listen, one author says this, when we become Christians, the truth of God should be utmost in our thoughts as we love Him with all of our mind. One way of measuring that is how often Scripture is cycling through your thoughts. The question is then asked, if someone could pick up and translate your thoughts into words, how many of those words would be Scripture? Would your eavesdropper hear the gospel? Would they hear, let not your heart be troubled? Would they hear, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble? Would they hear, we know all things work together for good? Would they hear, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? Would they hear, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? That's how you blaze a new trail. Instead of the negativity over and over, instead of the worry again and again and again, instead of deepening those lines, instead of traveling the old trails, we make new ones and let God's word circulate always through our mind. For every thought you don't want, listen to me, let there be a verse of scripture that counters it. For your fear, let there be a verse of faith and confidence and trust in the Lord. For your negativity, let there be a verse of hope. For your thoughts of ill will towards another, let there be thoughts of blessing. We think what's true. We think what's compassionate. We think what's excellent. We think good thoughts, not bad thoughts. Positive, not negative. We think helpful, not hurtful. We think reconciliation, not retaliation. How about this with people? We think more what's admirable about them and less what's annoying about them. I see quickly and easily what annoys me in people. But how about less that and more what's admirable? We think gratitude and praise. We think thanksgiving and less complaining, celebrating all God's done, all God's given to us, less concerned and consumed with all that we're still needing him to do. In Psalm 77, the psalmist begins in distress. His description, he's groaning in his spirit. He's growing faint in his spirit. He's discouraged. He cannot be comforted. He's so worried that he can't even speak. But then this, I will remember your great deeds, Lord. I will recall the wonders you did in past. I will think about all you have done. I will meditate on your mighty acts. We think hope and expectation. We think faith thoughts, not fear ones. Thoughts of victory, not thoughts of defeat. Whatever's true and right and noble and pure and lovely, that's the new trail that we blaze. Those thoughts, that's what we rehearse in our mind. Those are the ones that we make to be ingrained and engraved. We get off the old. We stop the negativity. It's not allowed anymore. We stop the feeling of ill will, the thoughts of ill will. Wow, they made me mad. Wow, I would like to give them a piece of my mind. We stop that. We stop the anxiousness. We stop the fear. We stop that. And we begin the new. Now, whatever's lovely, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's praiseworthy, we retrace those lines again and again and again. What's lovely about the Lord? What has God done for me? The goodness of God that I can live in, the hope that I have, and how God will be with me and be for me and work all things for my good over and over and over until it's that's ingrained and engraved. And those are the trails that we're now traveling. Think on heavenly things. Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. How about that as a filter? Listen, you're headed for heaven. Why not practice here and now how you'll think there and then? Why not that as the filter that you set over every thought then? How you determine what you will take captive to kick out and what you will take captive to let remain and to obey. If it's how I'll think in heaven, it can stay. Only then can it stay. How about this? We fill our minds with Christ. We set our thoughts on him. We behold the beauty of Christ. We gaze on him. We spend time with him. We think about him. We read about him. We fill our lives with him. And we do that in an ever-increasing quantity and quality. And he changes us. He makes us to be more like him. Because after all, as a man thinketh, so he is. Think about Jesus more and more so you can be more and more like Jesus. Set your mind on the things of God. Set your mind on the promises of God. Set your mind on worshiping God. Fill your mind with worship, only worship. You're blazing a new trail. Not the negativity, not the pessimism, not the hurtful and harmful, not the angry or bitter. Your thoughts are consumed with God, His goodness, His wonder, the awe of who He is, His majesty, His holiness, His glory, His love for you, His compassion towards you. Set your mind, set your thoughts on talking to God. Practice praying without ceasing. You have to get off the old. And as well, you have to blaze a new trail of thinking. Finally, this morning, we'll say it this way. Trust the Spirit on the trail. Don't miss this. You're not alone in your desire to be a brand new person. The Lord wants that for you. He wants to help you in that. He wants to help you that your mind would be renewed so that you could be transformed. Philippians chapter 4 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. There's a lot there, but in the context of the message this morning, this is what we do. We pray. You tell God what you need. You tell God that you don't want to travel that same trail. Not the negativity, not the bitterness, not the anger, not the resentment, not the unforgiveness. You want to blaze a new trail. Thank Him for all He's done. Let your gratitude build up your faith to believe Him for what you're asking Him for. You do that and you will experience God's peace. And His peace will guard your heart and it will guard your mind. His peace will keep your mind safe and in union with Christ. You understand? You won't just blaze new trails. You'll blaze in union with Christ trails. Christ-like trails will be what's engraved and ingrained in your mind. Listen, we'll get off the old. We'll stop thinking the old way. We'll blaze a new trail. And when at the crossroads of having to decide which one to travel, hear the word of the Lord today, the promise of the Father. In Isaiah chapter 30, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Don't discount the voice of the Spirit helping you as you turn away from the old so that you can blaze a new trail of new thinking that will make of you a brand new person. Father, would you help us today? I pray. Lord, one of those messages again, how easy it is to speak it. And I imagine even a sense how easy it is to sit and to listen to it. And our hearts resonate with it. Yes. Yes. We want to get off the old. We want to walk the new. But Lord, I think all of us would equally understand how difficult to live in this day in and day out, moment by moment. We know, in fact, before we even leave this place, there might be that that irritates and annoys us. Before we even leave the parking lot, there might be that worry that settles in again in our mind. That anxiousness, that fear. We've been distracted, as it were. We haven't thought about the meeting with the bank tomorrow, and we haven't thought about the bill that still sits on the desk, and we haven't thought about the doctor's appointment that's coming up this week, and we haven't thought about the things that are going to bombard us as we leave, and with them try to bring again all the worry and fear and anxiousness. The person at work that, no other way to say it, just sort of drives us nuts. annoys us, irritates us, has hurt us before, we assume will hurt us again, and all the thoughts that we think about them, all the negativity towards them, all the ill will, we know we're going to see them tomorrow. Easy to sit here this morning. Yes, we want to be changed. Yes, we need to change our thinking. Altogether different to live it tomorrow. Lord, oh, how we need your help. How we need your help. And that being said, Lord, this morning, how grateful we are for your help. Would you remind us today, we do not blaze the new trail on our own, but rather we have the voice of the Spirit guiding us. This is the way. This is the way. Walk here. Walk in this. Blaze the new trail of thinking so that we can be brand new. Would you remind us of what we've heard today with each and every thought that comes in our mind? We thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I pray this morning that the Lord helps you and helps me to be all that we want to be, all that He's destined us to be. I pray that He helps us to change our thinking. Stop the old. Blaze the new trail. And let the Spirit do what He does, which is to help you in that. Can I pray His blessing over you as well? Would you stand this morning? Would you extend your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord? I pray it over you. I declare it in the name of Jesus and on the authority of His word. The Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, I pray it today. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be good to you and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you His peace. In Jesus' name, amen.